they're callers on both sides. There are times that he asks for balance, and if there's someone who calls and says, I want to respond to what the caller on air is saying, we try to beat the telephone system and get them on air to respond. It's an interesting job. A thankless one too, but it's an interesting one. I thank you though. Brass Tax, good morning. Yes, ma'am.
Am I okay? Let me in, please.
You are in. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
My name is Johnson.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm good. How are you?
I had a little bit of a challenge, but I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm working on it. Tell me, what's on your mind?
Okay. This morning, I had two callers, and that is what forced me to call in. Mm-hmm. The first caller and the young fellow, I finally told him, was very interested. Mm-hmm. I was looking at different things dealing with the changing today. And yes, we have a problem. And I can't even start a little further back. I listened to you also, what you say about Trillwitz and uncles and aunties. Mm-hmm. I can look at if further that is to the day nurseries, when are the baby born, before you have the granny that was a certain age, or even mm-hmm. your next relative, you said have with the changes.
True.
At the nursery, changing babies go into the nurseries. And, you know, your first year is the first 3 years of any child where you find love, kindness, how to say sorry, how to say to tell on it, and then when you go in the person is working, so they can't take up every child and hold it and show love, right, and show how to laugh and to tell, and you know, it starts on there. Not again, dinner, see, or dinner, anybody. It starts at home, then mm-hmm. into dinner, see, then into schools. Mm-hmm. And the first year, so changing goes. You see, they don't even smart, they don't know how to speak, they don't know how to say thank you. And there are these fears. Then this aggressiveness comes out of them. Every child has vexation. But, you know, and it go in. And I think it's not, it is a whole world that we're seeing this, because something is lacking. I am not just a target, I guess, watching, and it hurts me to see how Changa is shooting up one another and killing one another, and don't have no remorse to that. Just want to see blood. Mm-hmm. And the songs that they're listening to and all the listening. And you is not some good song. That's what I love to call you for years. You know that.
I know that.
You met some good song to call you. Said more, you know, you said more, and the uncle that is coming in, yep, and one is going out, and everything is money, and changing, even learning how to do things for money.
Yep.
I guess her friend telling me, she gets the two little school out of the bus stop, kissing one another in short times, you know, and it really bothered her to see at that young age what they are thinking. at that age, you know. So I guess when I listen to these callers, it really moves me to see we have a problem. We can't be in a body. You guess have to see how we can fix it. Have a good day, and you have
Thank you very much.
And you is a fighter. So you can fight whatever you're fighting. You have
Thank
a good
you.
Day.
Thank you very, very much, Roz. Hearing you brings another dimension to this. And we talk about at-risk students, we talk about at-risk children, we talk about the vulnerability of females. We have to add males too, because young boys are just as vulnerable as young females in today's environment. And then, of course, you have the added challenge of people who have disabilities, learning, physical, emotional, and other types. And they too suffer a particular and extra challenge when it comes to defending themselves, when it comes to getting an education, when it comes to finding employment. And people who are able in their minds but are physically unable to execute some of the things they're asked to do, it frustrates you. And that's why when I get challenged, I usually tell people, I mean, Friday, a doctor asked me, because I went to see the doctor on Friday, he asked me, do you have to work the way you do? I said to him, I enjoy what I do. When I can work, I work. When I can't work, I don't work. If the challenge is physical, if my leg's broken, there's nothing wrong with my mouth, I could work. If I have a sore throat or I'm slurring, because I can't chew and swallow properly, then I can't work. My legs may be fine, but I can't use my mouth. So there are challenges that we face, and I want to thank you for your contribution. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hi, Mr. Johnston.
Ma'am.
Yeah, good morning.
Hello.
I have two items to place on the table. First, mm-hmm. Mr. Owen Arthur, mm-hmm. He served the country for 14 years. He was our prime minister for 14 years. He served underneath his ex-VIP members. Are you mean to tell me that none of them couldn't say a nice word to him but just walk out of parliament? I know they were want to talk about children behavior. That was not nice what they did to Mr. Arthur. My next one about the teachers. Well, whether back in my time at school, all teachers used to search the children. They don't need for no detectors in school. All teachers should come together and search the children. But instead of like then striking and every minute running to the Ministry of Education, back in my time, they had serious teachers that was caring, used to look after you. You never used to have paying for no extra lessons. You used to get free lessons. If they know that you're slow in something, they will start after school and help you. But knowing this time, the teachers want money. And then they will start blame the parents and so on. They should be caring for the children too. And they should be searching their need for no detectors in school. In my time, they have bashment music. They had the milkshake. Cause I went on the band, then I had a milkshake. The people play innocent. I pretend that them is somebody. They have bashment, they have fighting in schools. You see things that are happening now used to happen back in the times. But people just won't pay that them may know what's going on back in them times.
Okay.
The teachers need to spend more time with the children and show them certain things instead of going striking and everything, the writing ministry and complaining all the time. And then want to blame parents for this. I know some parents to be blamed, but no, teachers to be blamed too. They should be searching the children. Like, when we used to go to school at the gate, they used to go home if you're here, naughty or whatever, search it to see if your shoes clean. The teachers don't do nice or no. Teachers only care about to get money. I don't care who vets. They care about no children nor theirs. They should be searching the children. That's all I have to say.
All right, ma'am. You too. Have a good day. Brass Tacks, good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Blessed day to you.
And to you too, ma'am.
Yeah. It's lovely to hear, Mr. Johnson. I was listening to the educational program last night on TV. Mm-hmm. And it was discussing education.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman, he came on and he said that our children, this generation is lost. Now, and I hear a lot of people say that, not majority, but, you know, words are powerful. And they say even if one person believes that this generation is lost, they would treat them like they are lost. And I'm saying that at some point in time we were all lost. And I'm not even referring to the Christian reality. I am a Christian, but there are areas in which we get lost, right?
I guess so.
We get opportunities and we see opportunities. Sometimes we got to move on to save our own lives. I would like people to start saying that this generation is lost. And especially Christians, because if this generation, and this is known as a Christian country, if this generation is lost, Christ has died in vain. And if this generation is lost, we are in trouble. They say the youth. Now, if the youth is lost, what is going to become of our country? We will not be here forever. Those of us like myself in the 60s and 50s and whatever. So the thing to do then is to help wherever possible, not cast them out and forget about them. We should do everything in our power to help the youth. And the educational system, you heard the lady speaking about all the things that they're doing, the psychologists and so on, with the counselors at school and different things like that. If she says she has been in that job for about 15 years, I think, can be corrected, roughly around that time. And I'm saying that seeing the results or not seeing results mean to me that it's time for change of some of those things that they have put in place. Or a relook at some of the things that they have put in place. I was speaking to a young lady sometime back, quite good-looking young lady, and she was just outrageous. I spoke to her. I said, "What was going on?" And try to get her a job for yourself, and see if you get something at the supermarket. Or and she pulled me one side and say, "I can't read and write. I can't even fill out a form." No, Mr. Johnson, she went to school until she was 16. From primary school. And it is recognized that children have problems. Why put them to do this exam that's coming up in May now, the 11 plus? We're really going to get 10 and 15 and then send them on to secondary school to do 10, 11, and 12 subjects. I mean, that
want
looking into.
Ma'am, when we look into it, what are we going to do about it?
Well,
because we've been saying this for the longest while. So when we look into it, what are we going to do with it?
Okay. From primary school, this I'm thinking. I am not an educator, but we get ideas. We should get ideas from each other as we go along. From primary school, they say they have something in place to find the weaknesses in the children and so on. Now, I don't know if they're still doing that. I understand that they hold back some of the children from the 11 plus for another year.
They hold them back sorts of reasons other than the fact that they can't learn. But let me ask you this question.
They hold back, right? I know of a particular guy that was held back and he was pushed to do very well. He did well. But then when he got into the good school, well, you don't know what we call the good school.
No, I don't.
He could not cope because he was pushed beyond the limit to get there, right? Which was saying that this child needed more than that from before.
Ma'am, let me ask you this question. Because the previous caller made some comments and you seem to be going in a similar line.
Mm-hmm.
How old was the young lady you saw who said she couldn't fill out the form?
She was about 18 at the time.
Okay. She lived by herself? Okay. You have children?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know how old your children are now?
Adult.
Okay, good. When your child was 7, 8, or 9, you didn't know whether they could read or not?
Yes.
Good. So if you have an 18-year-old who does not know how to fill out a form, where they were living? You see, that's the reason why when you said we have to look at it, I ask you who have to look at it, and I tell you we've been looking at it for too long. Mr. If we have, ma'am, okay, go ahead.
Mr.
My name is Dennis. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This situation right where the mother herself cannot read well. So I'm saying that the welfare department, the psychologist said that they visit homes where they're hoping for the parents to comply and so on. Now, we have to do more than that, because if you call a parent and tell the parent this child is not moving on, whatever the situation is, and the mother comes in, and you recognize that the mother is also that kind of slow and so on, okay, there should be some kind of program that they can follow up with this child, the family. I don't want to sound like I am criticizing, because we do as much as we know, right? But I think that we have gotten to the point now in this country where we need to address these issues if they haven't been done before, so that we don't, the next 20, 30 years, we won't be going over this same thing, saying that the children are lost, this thing, that thing. Something really needs to be done at the very start to see where our children are going. If they are inclined to the art, craft, whatever. Because we got to remember, one time people can say, okay, let me buy a ticket and go to the States and get a little maid job, or go to England and get a little assistant nursing job and so on. Those countries are looking out for their own, and we need to look out for our own and push our people into work where they can excel, as the guy was saying just now. Even if they are a carpenter, they can be the best carpenter, they can be the best plumber, they can be the best person to do an excellent job, and not have people pull them down by giving them next to nothing for their work. That is one of the issues as well, right? If a man tell you, I can come by you and read, I could read that job for you, or rewrite that job for you for $50. You know the man in need, come at it or not, I want that job there, I can do it for $50. Don't tell the man, I can only give you 20. Then you know you can bargain with him and say, all right, I can get 40. I ain't got 50 right now, but I could get 40. You see, selfishness will destroy this nation if we do not really think about what we are doing.
Okay, ma'am. I take your point. And thank you. I have a note here that says the BLP did not walk out of Parliament on Mr. Arthur. It is unfounded and dangerous. That should not be broadcast. It is totally false. So, to the caller who talked about the BLP walking out of Mr. Arthur in Parliament, I am assured that it did not happen. Brass Dex, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
Yeah. 2 points this morning. One, to deal with young people between 5 and, as you say, 18. And the next one's to deal with Parliament. Now, in the 60s and 70s, when I was in my early days of my skill, when you see July and August, you will find a rush of parents, mothers, mainly women, approaching you, ask you if you could take their son. In those days, it was scarfetry with me only. But after years, I get involved in other skills, training young fellows in those days. Almost every joiner shop in Barbados, you will find 2 and 3 youngsters, plumbers, name them. They had a business not far from where Jackie Roper died that used to train plumbers. I can't remember the name of the company nor the gentleman. But around the same time, July, August, you will find women, mainly women, in and out of that place, trying to get their son in there to learn a skill. I hear a lot of people over the last couple of years complaining about the level plus exam, what should be done with it and what shouldn't be done with it and things like that. When you have a child going to school at 5 years old, and at 11, it can't fill out nothing on the form that is given to that child. The parents and the teachers who look after that child during that time is fully responsible, not that child. I blame the parent, single or husband or wife, and all those teachers that that child passed through. Because every term, Easter, summer, and Christmas, that child receives an exam sheet so that you have an idea as a parent how that child has done during the year. And for 5 years, and that child at 11, I blame the parent and the teachers. And I would like people to stop blaming the 11 plus. In everything in this life, there's A and B. There are people who excel, and there's people who don't. If the parents that we have in Barbados today, they stop studying material things and everything, and start taking note of their child from the age of, from the time they're born to after at least 7, 9, because there are people who believe that, oh, they'll start working on the child 11, 12, and 13. From the time all those young women up there now who might be pregnant and listen to my voice, all they know that child in your womb need help. And you got to help it, not when it get 11 or 12. 1, 2, 3, and you will find that all these problems that we got with the young people will change. The children need help from 1 year old. My second point.
Before you move off of that point, I agree with you. I think that young people, from as early as you want to, 7, 8, 9, should learn that nothing in life is free. They should learn that every job has its price, not every man has his price. So taking out the garbage is 50 cents and washing the car is a dollar and weed whacking the yard is $2. You learn the value of work, however you care to introduce it to them. Two, I think once you could do it, you shouldn't wait on the report card. You should talk to your child on afternoons, find out what they did. Have a conversation with them. Conversation these days apparently is dead and buried somewhere. So there is no conversation. People do not know how to converse with each other. And part of the anger that is manifested with people fighting and pelting and stabbing is because they don't know how to talk. They don't know how to talk through an issue. They do not know how to disagree with somebody with the point they're making and not with the person. And that's learned. That's learned from your environment, either at home, in the community, or at school. It's learned. You ain't born with it. Babies in the intensive care unit or in a crib in the hospital don't get up and start beating one another. So, and the fact that you keep insisting the mothers used to take their sons, I think a lot of mothers used to take their sons because they wanted them to have male influences in their life because they knew they were bringing them up without a male influence. And the carpenter, the joiner, the fellow who was fixing the cars or whatever would represent a male influence and help balance the female environment the son was growing up in. I know mothers who did it too. Your second point, sir.
Yeah, but you made a giant statement there, because I think that you got it dead right. I think that the mothers knowing at that time the father might be, because that we had fathers years ago that spend more time out of Barbados.
Yeah, Daniel Barbados, agreed. Yeah, agreed.
Siemens, yeah. Farm workers and things.
Yeah.
So the mothers in those days, like, they believe, I better get my son along, someone.
Who could give him, who's a good influence, rather than let him go with a bad, yeah.
Right,
so I know a youngster whose mother said to me that her husband travels a lot. And one morning he came down to breakfast and his father was sitting at the table and he looked at him and said, wait, you still live here?
Yeah.
I said, I hope my father beat him.
Yeah, you don't see him.
No, because, you know, he said, that's right. He said, you know, his father is not usually at home.
Yeah, so
the morning he came down, I saw him, he asked if he still lived there. But the father works outside of Barbados, so he's out of Barbados a lot.
Out of Barbados, yeah. That's the strength of women. People don't understand how powerful women was in this country for years. Women was the strength for this country.
So, and sometimes the strong women did not bring a single child into the world, you know. And some woman who every hardest child, she used to straighten them out because the mother didn't want to straighten them out. We had those people. I don't know where they gone to. I don't know if that art has died out, but I know some people who did not bring a single child into the world. And they helped a lot of crooked people turn straight, I could tell you that. And they didn't do it, and they didn't do it with lashes and things. They did it with care and love and talking to.
Conversations that is so interesting. When you say one thing, you make the person ask something. I was in a gap called Founders Gap, West Bay Road. Two gaps away from Rihanna Drive. Hmm. And although I passed that good score that was given to us, I could remember every woman and man in that gap. You know my vision now, but
gone.
I could see them. Mr. Weeks, Miss Shortness, Miss Grails, Mr. Haynes, Miss Booms. I could remember all of those women because my grandmother raised me in Founders Gap. Mm-hmm. All of those women and men was
look out for you, right?
Me.
Looked out for you, right? Yeah. So
mother
look,
and fathers.
So I think sometimes people need to listen to people who have the experience you haven't shared it. I went to a conference in the United States. I went to it because the company took me there, one. And two, the keynote speaker was General Colin Powell, right? And he said, today you have the intranet and the internet and all kind of thing. Nothing could beat the antinet. He said, I know you don't know what the antinet is, but my mother was a Jamaican. He suddenly slipped into a Jamaican accent. He said the antinet was two big fat women who used to be in the window all day long looking outside. And anything I do, I used to bawl, Colin! And my mother used to know 5 minutes later. He said, I never see them go to the bathroom. The most they used to do sometimes was put a cushion under their arm. But they used to be in the window all day, all night, looking out on the street to see what the boys in the street doing. That's their job, those, apparently.
Guiding those who can take the country forward.
And this is General Colin Powell I talking about, right? Talking about no fellow that's sweeping the street or saying, not by the side of the road. A United States decorated general saying that the person who kept him on the straight and narrow was two big ants.
Big
fat women looking out the window, looking out the window all day long, malicious in the business, you know. But he understood what they did. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
the other point.
One because you know the lines.
Yeah,
the
they're blocked up. Yeah.
Line up. Yeah. Mm. Now I listen to Parliament every day, but I know plenty of Barbadians don't, mm-hmm. and I know that by listening to people. So I don't listen to them. You know, I don't know what happened because. With the phone to my ears just now, I heard you say that the Barbados Labour Party did not walk out.
That's the comment I was. That's the WhatsApp message I received, yes.
I don't know. But listening to the Parliament live, the information I got there is that did occur. So you will have to blame the members of Parliament because, you know, they're always shouting. And because I really... is a little annoyed of the amount of noise I'm hearing in Parliament these days while people are speaking.
The other comment from someone else said they did not walk out. They were just not there.
Yeah. But then the thing is, the shouting, getting up, a point of order with nothing really to say. And I think that Parliament got to put some rules. I think the Speaker, whoever the speaker is in the second term got to be very, very, very strict and put some of them out of the house. I mean, from both sides. But this is what annoys me with the whole session last week in Parliament. Now, I was an Alpha man. I used to sit down at BET with Alpha, not as a close friend, but loving cricket, and I'd see him there and make his sport. I talk about the late 80s. Mm-hmm. I got wrong with Alpha over his immigration policy and borrowing too much money. But I still respect Owen Alpha. And I felt what the Barbados Labour Party did to Alpha was one of the biggest insults in all Barbados history, where politicians is concerned. Mr. Johnson, you work at VOB. I don't think you and everybody at VOB to see eye to eye. But if you work there for 20 years, you don't believe then you're leaving. People should wish you the best for the time that you spend there, because you can't be good or work with everyone.
So they may be happy to see me back.
I believe the Barbados Labour Party. I don't want to leave, and I'm glad they're doing these things, because they may not believe that these things will hurt them.
You think it's
I believe they should have get at least 3 people out of those 12 to wish that gentleman, who, after they had 3 seats in Parliament, then Henry Ford took over and increased it a little. He controlled the affairs of that party as leader for 15 years, 14 as prime minister, and 1 as leader of the opposition. And I think it was embarrassing that not one of them could stay up and wish him a good retirement. There's no excuse in the world they could bring to satisfy me that they were right. And Mr. Johnson, you have a good day.
You too, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson, how are you doing, man?
I'm all right, and you?
I'm not as good as I would like to be. This bug is going around, has me a bit going a couple of days now, but I will fight back like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening. I want to make 2 comments. One is about I enjoy that conversation you have with that academic guy who say he has first class honors, et cetera. But what was most interesting coming up from him was that, you know, he also spoke highly of, you know, a good carpenter, a good mechanic, a good mason, and you also embrace those persons as part of the community. Although he's an academic, he wasn't like, I would say, like, snobbish on him. He said, well, I'm up there, da-da-da. He also embraced those persons. I said, well, this is a man that is really sound in his analysis. And somebody like him would be, it would serve well to have him to a community to embrace a lot of the youngsters if they would want to listen to him and let him point as much as he can and as helpful as he can be. I really enjoyed listening to him and yourself. I heard you commenting too with some interest. I think you endorse a lot of what you would have said. Hello?
Mm-hmm. So I listening
right,
to you?
Right,
know.
Yeah.
Listen, so, you know, let me tell you why I find fascinating, right?
Yes, sir.
What on earth makes us believe that the gentlemen who are what we call boys on the block, people who are underemployed, that they're not university graduates, 1, 2, that they were not academically qualified, and 3, who tell you they see lawyers and doctors as being bigger than they are? Sir, I know twins who both went to Harrison College, who both graduated as lawyers. And one went one way and the other one went the other way.
Okay.
So I know people on the block with degrees. Let me ask you something, right?
Yeah.
We have 4 stations here, right?
Yeah.
Which station you think have the highest number of university graduates with degrees in this company?
That might be a pretty hard one to answer.
No, but take a guess.
I know those young people really qualified.
Take a guess.
The young people station.
Hot 95.3 FM, sir, have more degreed people on the air than any other station in Starcom Network. I want you, I need to bring this caller in for a second, sir. If you just give us a minute, let me see if I can get a caller in here. All right, come back to me. There is somebody on the line. Okay. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Mr. Johnson, how are you?
I'm fine, ma'am. And you?
I am very well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling to bring clarification to something that was said by Ms. Undecided a short while ago,
mm-hmm.
where she said that the members of the Barbados Labour Party walked out of Parliament because they didn't want to listen to Mr. Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
That is incorrect. The members of the Barbados Labour Party were actually in the chamber when Mr. Arthur was speaking. We walked out when they were dealing with the head, and a press statement as to why we walked was given to all media houses. So I just want to bring clarification to that.
Okay.
I would have thought that the Ms. Undecided would have tried to bring some clarification to the 8 questions that was given to the Minister of Finance that we're still waiting on answers for. And I want to thank you very much, sir.
I thank you, ma'am, as well for clarifying that for me. Is my caller still back on the line? Hello?
Yes, Mr.
Yes,
Johnson.
Sir. Yeah, you were saying. You see, Hot 95.3 FM, right?
Right. Yes, sir.
Has, I think, perhaps more people with degrees and graduates from university than any other station in here. I am willing to be corrected on that if my HR department wants to correct me. The reason why I'm saying that, sir, is this. When one looks around today, right?
Yeah.
I have more difficulty getting my plumber to fix my problem or my mechanic to fix my car than it is for me to reach my doctor. My doctor knows I have a peculiar condition, and he tells his secretary, whenever they see me, just send me in because I only come when I die in. My plumber have too much to do. My mechanic, I got to make an appointment and wait months, okay? So the point I am making is, this thing that people look down on plumbers and carpenters and electricians, so every time I hear a house fire in Barbados, I keep wondering if the electrical wiring was good. When I see people talking about the government units in need rewiring and fixing, and people scorching here and twisting there, I sit and I ask myself, so wait, all these people, we got qualified. You think a doctor could fix the problem on the South Coast with the sewage?
No.
No. Right. You think... the Minister of Finance and somebody with 3 degrees in economics and government and business could tell me how deep to dig a borehole to get oil?
No.
Okay. So this nonsense that we keep perpetuating, that people on the block cause, you know, they can't learn and they're not academically inclined. So that's not right. It's not even real. We don't know who on the block. We don't know why. We don't go on the block. We sit down outside, we look at some fellas, and we make a judgment. And, sir, we can't fix the problem by keep blaming and sitting outside and passing judgment. But that's what we like to do. Find somebody to blame. It not by us, so is them. And we're good to go. And
but
look at where we are.
Yourself and the guy touched on that anybody can learn. I certainly heard that coming from both
of you. Of course they can, sir. They just learn in different ways.
And the place the guy wanted to highlight was, I think that would be SCW, I hope.
Oh, yeah, that on Bay Street.
Bay Street, he was referring to the department thing.
Yeah.
I think Sanitary Engineer Works, right. Hope. That's the place.
Okay.
Now, quickly, the other one would be about regular callers. I didn't know what to do.
Leave that one. Duck and let that one go over your tongue. duck and let one go over. Let it, we can keep a tidy that one up. You too, sir. You take care. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. 41790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. I should check the emails. If you pass me the tablet, Mr. Vaughan, I'll take a look at the emails. You can also reach us via WhatsApp, 266-IVOB. Good morning. Hello. 434-1790, Brass Tacks. Good morning. Hello. Hello, good morning.
Mr. Dennis, I'm so happy to hear you.
Good to hear you too, sir.
Yes, well, we have 15 days before we have what was to be representation in our parliament. Mm-hmm. There will be none. Mm-hmm. There will be no constituencies, and we just have our hangers-on managing the government. But what I called about, I'm really disturbed at some of the conversations I hear coming out of the parliament, mm-hmm. which is referred to by the same gentleman, Mr. Arthur, as Poor Ricky Parliament. Because I was on my car coming home on Friday afternoon, and I could not believe what I was hearing. I did hear someone, I didn't catch the voice, but it was a parliamentarian who was putting up a case why we should have a second airport in the north of the island. The reason is that, as the words I heard, God forbid something should happen to the runway at Grandy Adams International Airport. Now, that runway is 150 feet of reinforced concrete, about a foot and a half thick, with a sub-base that was carefully gouged out and backfilled and compressed. And then on top of it, because, as you know, concrete surfaces are very noisy, and they do not have the best rideability, so there is about 4 inches of special asphalt put on top. Now, and that is tested to make sure that you have a nice ride when you land the aircraft and so on. Mm-hmm. It is not like the roads we built, because I see some of the very poor construction methods where they have the trucks lined up with the asphalt. No one checks the temperature to see that it's put down at the proper temperature, so they put it down at any temperature. And, of course, with the first rainfall, it gets washed off. Or you may find, as you may see on some of our highways, the foundations are deteriorated. And instead of fixing the foundations, they just run this slurpy liquid over it. Mm-hmm. It looks good for maybe a few months, and then
slides all over the place again. Yeah.
But what my concern about this thing, about having another airport in the north, apart from the security concerns, the cost one, the fact that the aircraft today, if you are building an airport, the most important part of an airport is the runway. And you're going to require a runway 200 feet or wider for the type of aircraft we have now. I think St. Vincent has theirs at about 200 feet. And at Toronto and some of the bigger airports, you'll find as wide as 300 feet of stress concrete. Now, I'm just asking, is this of importance at a time when we almost have our economy is in the dumps? Is that important? And then the thing is, you then have to support two airports. And to international standards, you just can't let some, even if you decide that businessmen, and you have to be very leery of these businessmen, which I've been seeing coming here recently, are going to build this thing. You then have to realize that we will have to have an international airport. There's no thought thinking you can fly from St. Lucia or Grenada and fly in here and don't have customs or immigration. As long as you are flying between independent countries, it is an international airport. So therefore, you're operating two major facilities with two sets of staff. The result of this is that they're both going to lose money. And then you're going to have to decide who goes down where. I am convinced if the argument is that you can't find anywhere to park the private jets, there is lots of land. You just have to pass the airport. And as you go east, you'll see lots of land that belongs to the airport that can be used to expand the parking apron. So I, you know, when I heard this talk, I was saying, this person who's speaking, are they really, have they really researched what they're saying? Then let's talk about the two airports in the West Islands. I think you're familiar with the land lease agreement, are you?
Yeah, sir. And the other thing is, do we have reports on the financial viability of the two airports in St. Lucia, the two in St. Vincent, so that we can say, okay, based on the use of airports, even Dominica, are they viable? Are they sustainable?
I can give you the answer to that, but I would like someone else to challenge me. I would ask anyone in this island to challenge me on anything I say. Anything. No, they're not viable when you have this two-airport thing.
So I have
but
no
the
idea,
whole
no.
point is that the lend-lease agreement, how they got the, most of those islands got two airports. Mm-hmm. The British were being pummeled by the Germans, mm-hmm. and they needed to get some assistance quickly. Mm-hmm. So President Roosevelt was not prepared to go into a war when he was facing an election. So therefore, they came up with this lend-lease agreement, mm-hmm. where in return for an initial shipment of a few destroyers and some weapons, initial shipment, mm-hmm. they were allowed to have bases in the Caribbean, starting from Kinley in Bermuda,
right.
Coolidge in Antigua, mm-hmm. Beanfield, which is now Curanora in St. Lucia.
Right.
We had Waterfield and some other
Waterfield in Trinidad.
Trinidad Atkinson in Guyana.
Guyana. Mm-hmm.
Good. So that is how they got their second airport. It wasn't that the government had money to do any second airport, and because they have all this traffic on these little strips of island. That is absolute nonsense, and I hope that it stops.
I don't even think Grenada uses their second one anymore since Maurice Bishop International. Yep.
Listen, the thing is, Mr. Barrow, in the old days, would come and knock on the door to the control tower, and you would hear him say, "May I come aboard?" in his usual voice. Mm-hmm. He would sit down with the people working there, the controllers, and he would get all the information that he needed. So when he goes back into Parliament, anything he says, apart from his background, his long background in aviation,
yes.
you can bet he knew what he was talking about. Now, if we decide we're going to build an airport somewhere in the north, I don't know where, you would realize how much money that's going to cost us to put 200-odd feet wide runway, 2 miles long. That's only beginning,
Someone is asking you, sir, if there's an emergency where aircraft is disabled and can't be moved for days, don't we at least need another runway?
No, the answer is not. There is equipment available that do it. We've had some problems like that. Let me say this.
Yeah, we've had a shutdown.
There was a major, earthquake in Haiti, for an example. All the buildings were destroyed. Even the palace was destroyed. And within a few hours, they had that runway operational again. So you would need a nuke. You know what a nuke is. Or you would need an earthquake that would destroy this whole island to destroy that thing.
Right.
So I hear these arguments, and I understand the concerns of people. But let me assure you, the possibility of this happening, is almost zero, particularly with a hurricane.
Okay, sir. Thank you, as usual, for your contribution. And I know that particular area of Barbados is very much one you're familiar with.